Bless you. We're blessed tonight to have Brother Azar here with us, just doing an incredible work for the Lord and his wonderful wife. We love this family. We want to support them. We're thankful. Just incredible things happening where God has planted them. And I was thinking, you know, a lot of missionaries as they travel have, you know, slide presentations, things like that. But Brother Azar is such an anointed preacher. I talked with this with Jacob about this, but it got to where people just expected him and preferred him to preach. How many remember him preaching about the Key of David last time he was here? So powerful and anointed preaching. And we're going to lean on you to preach tonight. We want you to tell us about what's happened, but we want you to preach to us. We're thankful that you're here. God bless Brother Azar. He's going to help us. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise as he comes.
Amen. Let's clap unto the Lord. Isn't God good? Lord, we love you. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We praise you. We exalt you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead and lift him up. Hallelujah. I love you, Lord. Tell him that you love him tonight. Hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. I love you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. If you can please be seated. It's so good to be with you tonight. I want to give honor to Bishop Copeland and Sister Copeland and Pastor Copeland, his wife, this church family. It's always a privilege and honor to be here and to stand behind this pulpit. I was speaking to someone this week, and I told him the truth is that none of us got to where we at in life without somebody helping us, somebody giving us a hand, somebody preaching the gospel to us, somebody discipling us. And I'm thankful to Bishop Copeland tonight, my pastor, this church family. I appreciate the years and that's been invested in me and my family. And I believe that we are a direct result of his ministry, and we are forever grateful for every prayer, every word that he ministered to us. I believe that the Lord is coming back soon. I believe that the world is wrapping up. Things are happening so quickly. We see signs in the Bible being fulfilled right before our eyes. And we know that everything is leading. Isn't it amazing how 2,000 years ago or more some prophecies been written in this Bible that they are being fulfilled right in our time? Amen. I want to tell you, and when I see all of that, I want to make sure that I am in church, that I am full of the Holy Ghost, that I'm right with God. Amen. That I'm ready. Amen. And we've been blessed in Lebanon. 2020 has been an incredible year. Very strange, a lot of things happening. It started with a revolution in the country against the government. So the government collapsed, and there was roadblocks and all kind of chaos in the streets. And then I believe we got into COVID lockdown before you all did. So it started in April, March or April of last year, and it went on and off through 2020. And then with it came a financial meltdown with the banking systems where people's money weren't able to take their money out of the bank. About 70% today they're out of work in Lebanon. The rest, they can't get enough money to live from their bank accounts. And then August 4th, we had, I believe that's one of the largest explosions in the history of the world that was non-nuclear. It happened in Beirut, about 2 miles from our church, and there was a tremendous blast that took place with the, I guess they had some ammonium nitrate stored there, a big shipment, and something had caused it to explode, and it took about almost half of our city. It was right on the port, right on the sea, so imagine an island, Cyprus, about 200 or something miles away, felt the explosion, felt the wave. And it destroyed our city. About 300,000 people are out of home, and you can tell the devastation that has taken place. We were at our church, and I was supposed to go. We were looking at a school building not far from there, and canceled the meeting and decided to go back home. We live about 5 miles away. Our church is about 2 miles. And when I got home to the parking lot, we heard the first explosion. Then the second explosion took place, and it felt like a missile hit our building. Now, I grew up in a civil war and kind of familiar with a little bit of the bombing, but that was nothing like we've ever seen in our life. And so I went back home. I thought something had exploded in our house, and looked, there was nothing there, and called for my family, and my wife was there, my daughter Jenna, Joy. We couldn't find Joy, so I immediately started thinking something might have happened, but thank God she was in the back. And so we went out to the balcony to look outside the city, and there was this big black smoke coming out from the city, and it was but moments that they have called me from our church. Where we're at, we had several floors of our building. We have our church and then our school, and then we have several apartments that we have put together for those who are don't have place to stay, or they are religiously persecuted in Lebanon. We have several Muslims that converted. They couldn't go back to their families, and so we keep them there. And so they called me to come down. As I start driving down into the city, it was the more you get closer to our church, the more that you see devastation. Imagine high-rise buildings, just glass fell on cars, on people with blood stains, and destruction everywhere. We get down to our streets, and there you can see, because we are completely kind of open to where the explosion was, and there was a great devastation. The front of our building was gone, the walls, the doors, all the way into the sanctuary. And there was a great chaos. And so it took us about 3-4 days to really come out of it, out of the shock of what had happened. But I'll tell you, the next day, start calling our church folks, people, everybody was fine. The church, we had some of our church members came, and we started cleaning what we could, putting things together. Amen. It was a Tuesday night. By Sunday, we were having church. Amen. And I want to tell you, God is so good. Not one person had a scratch from our church family. Amen. God had protected every single one of them. We had testimonies after testimonies. We had one man in our church that was working right by the explosion, and he needed an electric part, and so he went to get it from other parts of the city because it was late. Amen. Where he was working, that building collapsed. And you can hear how God's hand of protection has been. Aren't you thankful, amen, for God and for God's hand of protection? Aren't you thankful that we have God watching over his people? Even if you walk in the valley of the shadow of death, you fear no evil. Hallelujah. 1,000 shall fall on your right hand and 10,000 on your left. You shall only see it with your own eyes, and it will not get close to you. And God has been good to us. We tried to fix as much as we could. Our building has swayed, so the last two floors, they were added to the building. They're not connected to the foundation, so they had cracks, and so the building had structural damage. And we were been looking for a new building, and by the grace of God, we're just believing God to help us. We are gonna get a foothold in the Middle East. We are working on, we actually, right before my wife and I left, we put a bid, and they accepted the bid, and so we're working the paperwork together, but we're, with the help of the Lord, we're going to get a property that has a school on it, and then we have enough room to build a church right in the heart of the city. Amen. I'm convinced and persuaded that God has a revival in Lebanon. Amen. And even though you see all this chaos and all these things happening, 2020, we had the most people that they have received the Holy Ghost and been baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. So we go on this lockdown for a couple of weeks. Now we've been on a lockdown for a month and a half. And then our viewers had went up on social media. And we've had this past Sunday, Jacob was preaching. We had over 1,000 viewers. And so when the lockdown opens and church gets back together, people who's been listening online come, get baptized, get the Holy Ghost. And so we've been on that roll. Amen. So we know that God is working. God is in control. We're just going to keep on keeping on doing what God. Hallelujah. And God will bring things to pass. Amen. I can speak about Lebanon all night tonight, but I really feel in my heart God laid a message, and I want to share it with you. And I want to, again, give honor to Pastor Jordan, his family, to Bishop, amen. And I believe that this is in the will of God. I'll tell you what I learned. I learned that one service, one night, can change your life. One response to God's word, amen. One thing will alter the next 20, 30 years of your life, the rest of your life. One service can get your name written in the book of life. One service can give you a miracle. One service can change everything. One service can break yokes, hallelujah, can give you a healing, can give you a miracle. So I don't want to miss out on God tonight. How about we just stand and love him one more time? Lift our hands together toward him. God, we love you. We worship you. We praise you. Hallelujah. We exalt you in this place. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Amen. Do you love him tonight? Amen. Do you love him tonight? Amen. Has God been good to you? Thank you, Jesus. Amen. If you stand with me, I want to go to a place in the Bible. Feel like God wants us to go in this direction tonight. I want to go to the book of Zechariah chapter 11 and verse 10. Amen. Zechariah chapter 11 and verse 10. So glad to have my wife with me. She normally doesn't travel with me, but this time I put my foot down. So we left the kids back home, and amen, but we're supposed to be in Lebanon. We hopefully will head back at the end of this month with the help of the Lord. Zechariah chapter 11 and verse 10. Amen. And thank you. And I took my staff, even beauty, and cut it asunder, that I might break my covenant which I had made with all the people. And it was broken in that day. And so the poor of the flock that waited upon me knew that it was the word of the Lord. And I said unto them, if ye think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said unto me, cast it unto the potter, a goodly price that I was priced at of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord. Then I cut asunder my other staff, even bands, that might break the brotherhood between Judah and Israel. And the Lord said unto me, take unto thee yet the instrument of a foolish shepherd. For lo, I will raise up a shepherd in the land which shall not visit those that be cut off, neither shall seek the young one, nor heal that is broken, nor feed that standeth still, but he shall eat the flesh of the fat and tear their claws in pieces. And woe to the idle shepherd that leaveth the flock, the sword shall be upon his arm, upon his right eye, his arm shall be clean dried up, and his right eye shall be utterly darkened. Amen. With the help of the Lord, I want to speak tonight about the staff of the brotherhood. The staff of the brotherhood. And if you would please put your Bibles down and help me pray one more time. Lord, we thank you for your presence that we feel in this place tonight. We ask you that you would minister to our hearts and that you would minister to our minds. We ask you that you would speak, Lord, to that inner person. We pray, Lord, that your presence will fill this house and that your anointing will flow with no limits. We honor you and love you and completely depend on you and give you all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray, in Jesus' name. And let's give the Lord a hand clap one more time, for the Lord is worthy. Jesus, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And please be seated. The definition of brotherhood is a relationship between brothers or close friends. It is the feeling of kinship with other people. Amen. Brotherhood is the bonding of people from different backgrounds into a common purpose and belief. And the same definition of brotherhood believe it applies to the same definition of sisterhood. Amen. I don't want just to be preaching for the men tonight, but I want to be preaching also for the sisters. Amen. Because when I'm not preaching from a place of gender, but I want to preach about a place from a position with God. The Bible says what manner of love that God had bestowed upon us, that He called us the sons of God. Amen. So when you read and search the scriptures, amen, when you read about the brotherhood, amen, you are speaking about a fellowship, a spiritual connection, a spiritual family. It's an alliance in beliefs, in doctrine, in lifestyle, and in practice. It is the core that brings people together. Something about the Christian brotherhood is that you cannot just join it. You cannot come in. I know from this church, you cannot come into this church and fill up a form and be part of the church. You have to be born again. Amen. If you want to be part of the church and part of God's body, amen, you have to be born into it. Amen. So it takes being born of the water. It takes being born of the Spirit. It takes taking on the name. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm thankful that I am born into oneness of God. Amen. We are born into a family. I've been baptized in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. When you get baptized in Jesus' name, you are entering into a fellowship of body. And when God fills you with the Spirit, God, as the Spirit, is testifying that this is, amen. You cry out, Abba, Father. Now you become part of the fold. You become part of the body. Amen. And I'm thankful tonight that I'm baptized in Jesus' name. That's what makes me a legal child in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. That's right. That's why if you don't use the name, you're not part of the family. I don't mean to be mean tonight, but I tell you, the Trinitarians are not my brothers. They don't use the name. That's right. Amen. Only people of the name that have been baptized in Jesus' name, that they have been born into the family, they have been brought, they have the legal name, hallelujah, to be part of the brotherhood, part of the church. Aren't you thankful tonight to be in a one God believing Jesus name church, amen, that has built with the blood, hallelujah, sanctified by the Spirit, amen. And so when you read about being born into the family of God, and you're born about coming into what's called the brotherhood is something that God has instituted in the Bible from the early history of the scriptures. Amen. If you read how God has constituted it into the early chapters of the Bible, it was carried through the history of God's people, the Israelites. You read about Abraham. Abraham had Isaac, and Isaac had Jacob. Amen. And Jacob had, his name was changed into Israel. Now we have 12 brethren that have constituted Israel. Amen. And the lineage that came all the way from Adam, all the way down to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, it stopped at the brotherhoods. It only continued with Judas to Judah to take us into the lineage of Jesus Christ. But God purposed the brotherhood to be, amen, for Israel to be born into a brotherhood, to be part of some brothers that will come together, amen, that will form Israel. And when you read about God's plan for His people and for His church, you read it as the same thing happened in the New Testament church where Jesus came, hallelujah, and He brought 12 disciples, amen, and He had taught them, and He had filled them, and He had helped them, hallelujah, and He brought out the church that's also constituted from the brotherhood, amen. It was on the mind of God from the beginning. It went through Israel, the Old Testament. It came to the New Testament, and you see it when you go to Jerusalem. You're going to see 12 pillars that represents the 12 brotherhoods. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. When you understand God's plan, you'll understand your place in God. And when God brings you in and your place in the church, and when God had brought you in, hallelujah, I don't believe that I'm just part of a fellowship. I'm not just part of a relationship, but I've been born into a family. Now I have brothers and sisters. Amen. That goes a little bit further than just getting together on a Sunday and a Thursday night. That goes a little bit further, amen, when you understand that you're my brother and you're my sister, and we are bound in blood. We have the same Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. That's right. That's right. I don't get to choose my brothers.
I don't get to choose my father, but I've been born into this family. Amen. But I got to choose whether I love my brothers or not. Oh, hallelujah. That's right. I got to choose whether I would be part of the brotherhood or not. Amen. Amen. In the Old Testament, we see the heart of God instituting it. And we see how Jesus, amen, had brought it to pass. I believe that Jesus didn't come just looking for brothers. Amen. But he came to look for the brethren. It was in the mind of God from the beginning, amen, that he would bring out, that he'll have brethren, amen, that will form the church. If you read from Romans 8 and 29, the Bible says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. Hallelujah, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And I believe tonight that Jesus didn't just come to save us, didn't just come to wash our sins away. But I believe part of all of that was that he would bring us into the brotherhood, that he can be the firstborn among many brethren. I want to tell you tonight, when God fills you with the Holy Ghost, when God washes your sin away, I'll tell you, you're looking like Jesus. You become his brother. Hallelujah. You become part of God's church. Amen. That's right. There is no such thing as individuality in the church. There is no such thing where you do your own thing. Amen. No, no, no. You are a family in the church. I said you are a family in the church. Hallelujah. That's right. That's right. We read in Hebrews 2 and 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him whom he all are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. In verse 11, for both he that sanctify and those who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren. He said, saying, I will declare thy name into my brethren, and in the midst of the church I will sing praise unto thee. Hallelujah. Jesus is not ashamed to call you a brother. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter what color you are, what language you speak, where you came from, what lifestyle you lived. It doesn't matter. It matters that you have repented from your sins and you got washed by the blood. When Jesus looks at you, he sees the blood. Hallelujah. He looks at you and said, you know what? Everything I see about you, I see a brother and I see a sister. Oh, hallelujah. That's right. In the eyes of Jesus, you are his brother. You're not any lower and you're not any higher. You're part of the family. You belong to a kingdom. Hallelujah. God is your father and the mother is your church. And you've been put into that family so you would love one another, serve one another, protect one another. You're part of the brotherhood. That's right. Amen. Brotherhood is the core of Christ's mission. I believe that it's not that it's an option. I believe that's what Jesus died for. I believe that's what, if you want to make God's heart happy, hallelujah, love the brotherhood. Be part of the brotherhood. Hallelujah. The main purpose that Jesus died and rose from the dead, that he could open the doors for the brotherhood, that anybody can walk through this church, amen, and be born again and become part of the family of God. Brotherhood has the power to deviate an individual from pursuing his or her personal agenda, interest, and cause, into pursuing God's interest, God's agenda, and cause. Amen. That's why Christ said, if you want to be my disciple, you got to deny yourself and carry your cross daily. Amen. That's right. To be part of the brotherhood is no more about you. That's right. You reject it if it's all about you. If it's about your agenda and your kingdom and your plan and your future, you have no part of God's brotherhood. When you come into this brotherhood, one thing you got to be sure to do, you got to deny yourself and say, God, what is your will for my life? What's the best interest for the brotherhood? It's not about me, but it's about you. Oh, hallelujah. That's right. That's right. When you read further in the scriptures, amen, you will understand that something is vital, amen, about the brotherhood. Brotherhood it will strip a man from being a selfish and self-centered individual into making him care for one another, love one another. Have you ever seen somebody that newly repented? The first thing they do, they want to hug everybody and they want to love. You know why? Because they've been born into the brotherhood. They don't have any issues with anybody. They don't have any issues with this person. Man, they could be smelling, sweating, whatever you want to call it. They're so full of love. They're so happy to be part of the church. They're so happy to be part of God's people. They're so happy that to be, I'm your sister. This is my brother. This is my family. Oh, hallelujah. That's right. That is right. Amen. That's what happens when the love of God fills your heart. When God fills your heart with love, He will fill your heart with love for the brotherhood. You would be willing to lay your life for them. That's right. Amen. We understand that God never intended for His church just to be a fellowship. Amen. I thank God for that. But I believe that it's the will of God, amen, for the brethren to dwell together in joy and peace. Amen, in unity, because I'll tell you, when God sees that, He'll command a blessing. Hallelujah. When God sees everybody getting together and everybody happy and everybody loving one another, I'll tell you, you don't have to ask God to bless you. You don't have to ask God to give you a revival. You don't have to ask God to heal you. I'll tell you, God's favor will come upon you. Hallelujah. Every time you read in the book of Acts, when they were all in one accord, God showed up. And when God showed up, anything happened. Hallelujah. That's right. That's right. And this is exactly, amen, what the devil hates. But brotherhood is God's fundamental constitution for the church. There is no way around it. There is no way beside it. Amen. There is no other way to go forward but then to be in unity, in love, and in the brotherhood. Oh, hallelujah. That's right. I don't just meet you on a Sunday. I don't just meet you on a Thursday. You're not just part, amen, of the church. I don't just see you on the church. But you're my brother on Monday. You're my sister on Tuesday. You're my brother on Wednesday. Your problems are my problems. Your need are my need. Your sickness, I'm gonna carry the weight. You're my brother. Hallelujah. Amen. I appreciate having friends, and when people tell me I'm your friend, I'm thankful. But I tell you, more than friends, I'm looking for brothers. Because friends, amen, are good all the time, and they tap you on the shoulder. You're my friend and my buddy, but a brother is born for affliction. A brother will stand with you when you're in trouble. A brother will pull that yoke for you. A brother will pay the prep. A brother won't forsake you. A brother will protect your back. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, you know I'm preaching the truth tonight. Hallelujah. That's right. Amen. When we look at the bond that will keep a family, bond that will keep the family of God together and helps you to deal with strife and keep the peace, it's the brotherhood. Hallelujah. If you have to protect anything in your life besides losing the Holy Ghost, you want to protect the brotherhood. This is off limit. My brother is off limit. My sister is off limit. I'm not going to let anybody come and put a wedge between me and my brother. I'm not going to let anybody come and put a wedge between me and my sister. I'm going to protect the brotherhood, because I'll tell you, I cannot afford to lose the brotherhood. You hear so many times about, amen, brother fighting a brother and a sister fighting a sister. You never hear a devil fighting a devil. That's right. Hallelujah. In Genesis 13 and 7, when we read about Abraham, when you study about the great people in the Bible, God didn't just pick up a number and said, well, I'm going to use this guy. No, but I tell you, God studied their life. God tried them. God tested their quality. He saw what's in their hearts, and He wanted to know if you're going to have the same heart as I have. And I'll tell you, the heart of God is the brotherhood. And every time God used somebody in the Bible, He chose somebody that loves the brotherhood, that has a burden for the brotherhood, that has a burden for the church. Not about them, but about God's church. That's right. That's right. Amen. If anybody got to walk into our church in Beirut, they've got to feel that. They've got to know that. Amen. We take people from all different countries in the Middle East, all different backgrounds, Muslim, Druze, Kurdish, Assyrian, amen, Armenian, Catholics, Lebanese, you name it, Iraqi, Assyrian, whatever. But something happens when they come into the church and get baptized in Jesus' name. God filled them with the Holy Ghost. We don't see colors. We don't see nationalities. We see a brotherhood. Oh, hallelujah. Because we know what's going to bring revival to our church. We know what's going to bring the favor of God upon our life and our home. It's the brotherhood. Hallelujah. Amen. That's right. Genesis 13 and 7. There was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. Problems happen, and they will happen. And that's normal. But how you deal with it is everything. Hallelujah, that's right. The Bible says there was a problem between their cattle and the Canaanite, and the Perizzite dwelt there in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. I'm not going to have a fight with you, because we're brethren. And you know what? The Canaanite and the Perizzite are watching, and the world is looking into the church, and the world is looking into your family, and the world is looking to your brother and sisters. I pray tonight that you will take that stand in your heart and in your mind. It doesn't matter if you offend me. It doesn't matter what will happen. We're not going to fight because we're brethren. That's above everything. You're my sister. This is above everything. I'm not going to fight you because your children did something. I'm not going to fight you because your husband or you. I'm not going to fight you because, oh, hallelujah. Because we are brethren. Oh, hallelujah. That's right. That's right. Abraham refused to fight with Lot. Even though Lot was his nephew, he called him my brother. He refused to fight with him. And when Abraham told him, listen, it's not about my right. I'll tell you why. Because most people fight because it's my right. You're stepping about my right. Can I tell you something? When you give up your right for the sake of the brotherhood, you know what you're doing. You're telling God your heartbeat is more important than anything that I have. I love you and I love your children and I love my brothers and sisters more than anything. You know what happens? God shows up. Hallelujah. That's what I want. I want God to show up. You want God to show up, you become a peacemaker. Oh, hallelujah. That's right. You want God to show up in your home, in your job, in your church, in your life. Be a peacemaker. Quit picking up fights. I said quit picking up fights. The Bible says, Genesis 13 and 14. And the Lord said unto him, he showed up to him and said, Lot was separated from him. Now lift up thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give thee, and to thy seed forever. You know, God can bless you in the desert. I said, God can bless you in an odd places. God can bless you when God sees that you're a peacemaker. God will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on you you cannot handle. It's not about where your eye sees. Amen. If my brother wants that land, take it, brother. Abraham did not decide where he would go, but he let Lot choose, and Lot chose to go towards Sodom. And yet Abraham went into the other direction, and God blessed him there. Amen. I want God to bless me in these places. I want God to bless me in the areas, amen, where I'm at. And we understand. I believe that God chose Abraham. It's because he loved the brotherhood. Amen. Lot went and put his tent toward the, in the fields toward Sodom. And I believe something was not right in his heart. The Bible says Lot was a just man. But I tell you, just man doesn't make you right. You might be fair with others, but it doesn't mean that you're making the right decision. Because anybody that separates himself from the brotherhood, he's wrong. You're wrong when you make the decision and said, you know, I'm going to separate myself from the fold. You know what you're doing? You're saying, man, I'm just not going to be part of this. And when you choose you don't want to be part of this, you're putting yourself in danger. Because the devil knows as long as the staff of the brotherhood and the bands are together, you're safe. But the moment you're alone, show me one person left the brotherhood, left the church and survived. And you know what? The family always paid the price. Brotherhood protects your family. That's right. I like what the elder said tonight. This is a safe place. Hallelujah. This is a safe place. You ought to love your brother and sister so much that you ought to admit this is a safe place. That's right. I'm not going to let anybody talk anything, not about my pastor or my bishop, but my brothers and sister also. That's right. That's right. But there was something in the heart of Abraham that made him decide that even though Lot separated himself from him, he still considered him a brother. And hear me tonight. Amen. We know the story of how Lot got into troubles. And there was kings fighting. And they went over. And the king of Sodom and the king of Gomorrah went. And they were in captivity. And Lot was taken captive. Let me tell you one thing Abraham didn't do. He said, well, he got what he deserved. He went into Sodom, Gomorrah. He joined himself. And he backslid. And look, he got what he deserved. You know what Abraham did? He got his men, he got his people and said, boys, Lot is in trouble and we're going to go after him. I believe, amen, I believe you shake the heart of God when you see your backslid brother or sister in trouble and you said, you know what, we're going to pick up a fight. We're going to fast. We're going to pray. We're going to pull on God. We're not going to criticize them and judge them, but we're going to pray for them. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Can I tell you when God feels that, when we do away with the spirit of criticism and judgmental because somebody backslid and say, you know what, we're going to pray for them. We're going to intercede for their sake. We're going to pray that God will bring them back, will pull them out, will bring them back into the fold. What kind of revival that will give? That's right. Abraham had a burden for the brotherhood, and he went and he got them. And when he got them, you know, several years passed by, and the cries of Sodom and Gomorrah was so high. Now, one thing we read about Abraham, he never went to Sodom and Gomorrah. We never fellowship with backslidden people and go to their places and do their thing, but we should never lose our burden for them. Hallelujah. Abraham stood still. Lot knew where he would find him. I want my brothers to know that 5 years, 10 years, 20 years from now, I will still be here. I will still be in the brotherhood. That's right. Because if they have any hope, their only hope is the brotherhood. The Bible says, amen, that here comes the Lord with two angels fixing to bring judgment upon Sodom and Gomorrah. And I believe it from all of my heart. The reason why God came to Abraham, not because God just wanted to tell Abraham, but because God knew the burden of Abraham. He knew his deep love for his brother. And he said, how can I hide this thing from him? And he went and told him. And you know what Abraham started doing? He started saying, Lord, I know you're a right man. And I know you're a good man. But if there's 50 people, Lord, if there's 50 people, would you judge the righteous with the unrighteous? And God said, no, if there's 50, I won't. Said, what if there lack 5? What if there's 40? And what if there's 30 and 20? And the Lord telling me, even if there's 10. Man, he was begging God for his brother. Oh, God, baptize me tonight
with a burden for the brotherhood. Baptize me, God, with a burden. Hallelujah. That is not about me, my blessings, my miracles, my provisions, my victory, but it's about my brother and sister. Help me to feel their burden. Help me to pick up the, help me, God, to build a hedge and to stand in the gap. That's right. The Bible says, amen, that when he was went into captivity and he was brought out, the scripture says in Genesis 19:29, and it came to pass when God destroyed the city of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow. And when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt, God remembered Abraham. I want to tell you, I believe that what happened in our city in Beirut is God remembered that there was some people there and some folks were praying. I want to tell you, judgment is going to come into this world, but I'll tell you what's going to keep us is the brotherhood. Somebody praying, somebody interceding. Hallelujah. Can God remember them when there is a car wreck? Can God remember them when there is a chaos in their city? Can God remember them because of your prayers? Hallelujah. I don't want to face God in the day of judgment and say you didn't care enough to pray. I know you stayed in the church and I know you live for God, but you have forsaken the brotherhood. And I believe that with the brotherhood comes a responsibility. Amen. I don't get to choose my brothers. I'm born into that family. When you're part of the church, everybody, you look around you, they're your brothers and sisters and they are important to you. And let me take it further. Amen. Bishop and pastor can correct me. You are your brother's keeper. Your well-being is important to me. You have food on your table is important to me. You're doing well in your life is important to me. Your prayer life being good ought to be important to me. Your worship ought to be important to me because I am my brother's keeper. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because the moment that you don't care and the moment that you're the only thing you see is yourself and the moment that you don't realize the importance of protecting the brotherhood is the moment that you had fallen. It's the moment that you have erred in your spirit. It's the moment that you have missed on God's plan because God is coming back to the church. He's coming back for the brotherhood. He's not coming for you and I. He's going to come back for the church. Hallelujah. That's right. We read about Cain and Abel. God received the sacrifice of Abel and he rejected Cain. And Cain looked at his brother's sacrifice and he got problem with his brother. We all know the story. It all started with a bad attitude. Got a bad attitude. You know, you probably heard a lot of preaching about it. Right before people sin, watch their attitude. That's right. Bad attitude will lead you to doing awful things. Well, he got upset with his brother. Don't let it be, God, if my brother is being favored and doing well, that I get upset from him. Hallelujah. Amen. But if my brother is doing well, God bless him. I'm going to pray for him. I'm going to pray angels around him. Because that's what's going to bring blessings into your life. That's what's going to make the father's heart happy is when the prodigal son come home and your daddy throw him a big party because he's back and you have an issue because he's back and you want to hold his past and what he did. I pray tonight that it will stop right there at the door when the backslider comes home, that everybody has an open arms. Everybody will start running the aisles. Everybody will start shouting, he's back, he's back. We missed you. The church was not the same without you. We missed your testimonies. We missed your worship. Oh, hallelujah. You want God to smile. You want God to be happy. You want to join the party that's in heaven. Rejoice. Rejoice. They're back. They're back. That's right. Amen. The Bible tells us
You know what's the sad thing about it? Is that when Cain killed his brother, and God came to bring judgment, Cain didn't think about it. You don't know that when you do your brother and sister wrong, you gossip at them, you kill them, you cut their throat, you assassinate their character, their blood cries out to God, and you put yourself in judgment. You know why? Because you weren't your brother's keeper. You have no options about it. You don't say, well, I'm going to do it or not. It's when you are part of the brotherhood, part of the church, that's your duty. Hallelujah. Before God use me in anything, amen, I want God to use me in the brotherhood. Before you start preaching, teaching, singing, doing whatever, the first thing God looks at, if you love the brotherhood or not. Because that's the qualification that God looks at to see whether he can use you. I'll tell you, when God gives you a shepherd, when God gives you a man of God, it's because he chose somebody, not because of his ability and talent, but because he loves the brotherhood. And to God, that's everything. I said to God, that's everything. He will anoint them. He will gift them. He will help them. He'll send them help. Oh, glory, glory. That's right. Man, I feel like I'm in the Holy Ghost tonight. And the tragedy that happened with Cain is that his ground was cursed. And now he worked the ground and it doesn't yield its full power. You know, that's why people struggle, is because they don't understand that you know, your car is supposed to go 100 miles per hour, you're going 10. That's right. Your tree that you planted is supposed to give you 100 fruit, it's giving you 5. It's not giving you your full power that's supposed to give you, because you didn't protect the brotherhood. And your land now, it's cursed. And you can do all the programs and everything you want and be good in everything you do, and you will miss out. Hallelujah, on God's blessings and the miraculous. Hallelujah. But you live the rest of your life under a curse, and your ground doesn't give you its full power because you are reckless with your relationship with your brother and sister. You should be a safe haven that your brother come and tell you anything. They ought to be able to tell you anything and know that it stops there. That you're not going to backbite them and backstab them and speak bad about their back because they're struggling with something. Do you know that's the problem often in the church? That nobody can confide to anybody because they're afraid they'll run their tongue on them or judge them or criticize them. I ought to be a safe haven that you can come and talk to me about anything and know that I'm going to take it to the throne. That know that I'm going to pull your shoulder, that I'm going to pray with you. And if I have to fast, I will fast with you. I got to be a safe haven. You can trust me with your problem. You can trust me with your struggles. You can trust me with what you're going through, and I will be there for you. I got your back. Oh, hallelujah. I got your back. You mean to me. You're important to me. We're in this together. We're going to the same home back together. We're on our way to heaven. And I don't understand. How can you go and give a Bible study and don't care about your brother that's struggling? There is something wrong in that picture. Hallelujah. That's right. I believe in Acts 2, in Acts 4, in Acts 10, any time they were in one accord, one mind, God shook the place. Fire came. That's right. That's right. Amen. In Lebanon, I'll tolerate a lot of things, but I will not tolerate anybody putting strife in the church. Amen. They're out of there. That's a red line. That's something I protect, because I'll tell you, if I lost that, I lost everything. That's right. That's my brother. Amen. That's my sister. That's my church. Hallelujah. I got to move on tonight. But you read, unity was always the cause of revival. Amen. That's why Hayden hates the brotherhood. And he always after attacking it. And if you read throughout the scripture from Genesis all the way to Revelation, there was always with the spirit of brotherhood, there was a spirit of murder that followed, a spirit of betrayal that followed the brotherhood. That's right. You see it in Cain and Abel. You see it with Jacob and Esau. You see it with Joseph and his brethren. You see it with David and his brothers. Hallelujah. You see it with the Israelites and the Benjaminites. You see it in the New Testament church. You see it with Judas. There was a spirit of betrayal that followed the brotherhood. And I pray to God that that spirit will not get a hold of anybody in this place. I pray to God that you recognize it. You have to understand that the brotherhood is a staff that you can lean on in time of trouble. It's a staff that's going to keep you from danger. It's a staff that's going to protect you. And you cannot afford for that staff to be broken. Hallelujah. Amen. God chose David. Can I tell you why God chose David? Not because he was a worshiper. Not because he was a praiser. The Bible says, I found David, a man after my own heart. Do you know why? Because David loved the brotherhood. That's right. And God loved the brotherhood. God loved his church. God loves his people. And you want to be in an odd with God? Do something to the brotherhood. Hallelujah. That's why a lot of people are sick and they're dying, because they're not discerning the body. They're reckless in their tongues, reckless in their spirit. They gossip, they talk, they bite back. They think it's going to be all right. It's not going to be all right. You're in a dangerous territory. And the first thing you ought to do is repent and say, God, take that away from me, because that's my brother. And that's my sister. And I'm not going to allow that spirit of betrayal to come into my heart. That's right. Hallelujah. That's right. Amen. God chose David. David, he could be trusted with the wounds of the people. The Bible tells us, amen, that God chosen him. You know why? Because he can get people that they are broken, people that they are in debt, people who are in trouble, people who are suffering, and he will bring them together. Amen. He brings them into the brotherhood, and he made a great army out of people who are disconnected, people who feel lonely. Can I tell you, that's what you will find in the world. But when you come to the church, they've got to be that bond of the brotherhood. That you feel like, man, I come to this church because I feel like I belong. I come to this church because I'm part of something. I come to this church because I'm part of God's family. I come to this church because somebody cares. I come to the altar. I don't stand by myself, but somebody's coming, laying hands and praying with me. I come to this church because people call me during the week to check on me. Oh, hallelujah. That's right. And God chose Joseph. I don't have time to go in all of that tonight. I know it's Thursday night. But I've learned that the key of doing becoming anything for the Lord, it starts with love for the brotherhood. And God is going to test you in that area. God chose Joseph because God found something in the heart of Joseph that he knew that he can trust him. He can take him further than all of his other brethren, because he knows that when he gets to the place, he's going to be able to be a help and pull somebody out. Can God trust you with favor? Can God trust you with influence? Can God trust you with money? Can God trust you with power? Can God trust you with gifting? Is it going to be about you, or is it going to be about your brothers and sisters? But because when you prove to God that, God, I love the brotherhood, and I love my brother, and I love my sister, and I'll do anything for them, and I'll care, and I'll pray for them, God, can I tell you, God will take somebody like Joseph, and he'll take him through jail and through trouble and bring him all the way to the most powerful person in the world. So when his brothers come to him and he tells them, you know what, I never held the grudges, I never held anything about you, I loved you when I was young, and I love you till now. And everything you've done, God had used so he can leave a prosperity for you in the future. If you stand with me tonight. I believe that the Lord did the brotherhood so he can feel that love and that connection. That I don't believe it was in heaven. He had angels serve him. Everybody bowed down to him. Everybody's afraid for him. But he wanted to be a brother to you and I. So the Bible says that Judas betrayed him. And he didn't sell the Lord. He sold the brotherhood for 30 pieces of silver because he was opportunistic. He was around all this time, but all what he was doing, he was looking for opportunity. And if you're opportunistic, you're going to fail. That's right. If you're looking for opportunity to climb up the ladder, you were going to fall. But if you become like Peter, amen. Peter, he had his character, he had his issues, but something was in Peter that God could trust him with is the brotherhood. And Peter, the devil has desired to sift you as wheat. But I'm going to pray for you that your faith faileth not. I know you're going to fall, you're going to have shortcomings. But when you get back up again, one thing I want from you, strengthen your brethren. That was the Lord's instruction to Peter. Before you go out into Jerusalem, preach on the day of Pentecost, and thousands of people get the Holy Ghost and get baptized, and you do all these great things, the first thing it starts, I want you to strengthen the brotherhood. And when Jesus came back after he rose from the dead, and he saw him on the beach and called him, said, Peter, I want you to feed my sheep. Take care of the brotherhood. I believe that tonight God wants to do something in your heart, in your life, that's going to change everything. I believe it will change everything. One thing is, God, I'm going to lay myself aside, my life, my agenda. And tonight, I know might have been part of this fellowship, but tonight I'm going to join the brotherhood. If you have not been baptized in Jesus' name, that's the doorway. That's the gate. You repent. Said, I'm leaving the world. I'm leaving what's out in the world. Because I'll tell you, everything is in the world. Is hatred, cold, betrayal, jealousy, hatred. That's what's in the world. You cannot trust anybody in the world. But I want to tell you, you can trust your brother and sisters in this church. So tonight is a good night for somebody to make the step and said, you know what? I'm going to join the church. I'm going to join the brotherhood. I'm going to be baptized in Jesus' name. And I'll tell you, God is going to so rejoice. He will fill you with the Holy Ghost. And you will cry, Abba, Father. Let us all pray right now. Can the Lord trust you with the staff of the brotherhood? If the Lord can trust you, I want you to take that staff and come to the altar and say, Lord, I'm going to protect it. I'm going to keep it. Tonight, I want you to baptize me, Lord, with a burden for the brotherhood, and baptize me for a burden. From tonight on, I'm going to be praying for them to come back. I'm going to be praying for backsliders to come back, because there is no power that can keep them. There is no judgment that God, you cannot push and change. I'm going to stand in the gap. I'm going to build the hedge. Hallelujah. When you come to the front, as appropriate it is, I want you to grab somebody by the hand and say, brother, you mean to me. Sister, you mean to me. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to protect the brotherhood. Jesus. David, come on, Jacob, come on, Peter, Hallelujah. Hallelujah.